This is Hillside Chapel's Sermon of the Week. Thank you so much for listening. We hope this message encourages you, uplifts you, and equips you in your journey with God.
Okay, let's get started with the Word. If you could, go ahead and turn your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 6 through 9. And if you have your phone, go to YouVersion app, or if you have the analog version, you can make the noise for me when you're going through. It really helps me to know where you're at. Now, I'm just going to read this, and then we're going to get started. It says, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." I'm just really excited to get to share just some encouraging words that I found in the scripture, especially during this season and this time. We are continuing the series. This is part two of We Can't Stay Here, and it's really fitting because we literally cannot stay here. Like, we have to go. So this is an important word that we need to get into our hearts, and I'm glad that I've got to follow baby dedication. It's just so awesome to see that, the new life and the encouragement, the potential that we see in these young people, you know, these little bundles here. Anything can happen. With God, he has a clear destination that he wants to get them to, and he has a calling on their lives, and we're basically saying, look, we dedicate ourselves to encouraging them and to raising them, to helping the parents, you know, just to be there for them, and we're dedicating them to God. And that's always a difficult thing to do. I remember I have four children, and so my first child, I remember how difficult it was when we had our dedication, where we say, Lord, take this child. And that's really difficult to do, but by the fourth child, you're like, Lord, take this child. Take all of them. Lord God, please, just take them, Lord. But he doesn't take them that way. I mean, I've tried that, but it's still really sweet what we do. But honestly, it's kind of a sign of what we're getting ready to talk about. You know, I read the scriptures in Joshua, and this is God talking to Joshua, and he's giving him really clear instruction here. He's putting before him this vision of, this is what you're going to do, and I'm your God. And so it's pretty exciting. And he says three times, and we know God doesn't have a speech impediment. He's not stuttering. He says, be strong and courageous. And I feel like we always need to hear that. Pastor, I feel like I need to hear that all the time. I just need to be reminded to be strong and courageous, that we have a God who has a clear, he sees ahead. He knows what's coming, and he knows that he is completely faithful, but we need to be reminded sometimes. And it's so encouraging that I want to just share that with you, that be strong and courageous. We're about to move. We're about to do some things, and I'm not just talking, guys, corporately we're moving. As a church body, we're going from a physical location to another physical location, okay? We're going from here to here, but I'm talking spiritually. We need to really have this in our hearts, that we're constantly, God has spoken to each and every one of us. You say, well, no, he hasn't. He didn't come face. Yes, he has. I'm telling you, you wouldn't be here today if he hasn't spoken to you. You wouldn't have received him if he hadn't spoken to you. It's in his word. It's in the interactions that we have. He confirms it over and over. And I'm telling you, each and every one of us have that calling in our lives. It's something special, and it's uniquely tailored to you. And all we need to be reminded of is to be strong and courageous. I'm telling you, how many times do we not go after those things that are the best, those things that we want, those things that are worth pursuing and possessing because of fear or doubt or discouragement? How many times do we let those feelings keep us from what God has? Now, I just want to say, in the natural, we understand that this is just a part of life. There are so many things that we have that we risk to have, okay? Like, there's so many things that we have in our possession now that, let me tell you right now, it came at a cost. It came that you had to step out of what is known and comfortable and familiar into something that was unknown, scary, and difficult and challenging to have what you want. I know one example is my wife. She really stepped out in courage and was rewarded with me. And I mean, I know that every day, come on, she was strong and courageous. No, I'm just joking. I've been the one that was blessed in that relationship. And I'm telling you what, she's had to put up with a lot. The Lord is going to bless her with many mansions in heaven. But there is our spouse. How many of you are married? Come on. All right, now this is a lesson, you guys. If you want to get married, there's going to be some risk. You're going to have to put yourself out there and look foolish. Let me tell you, some people are better at looking foolish than others. I know you guys need to catch up to the master, but sometimes you just have to be willing to take that step. You know, with my job, I remember to marry my wife, I had to have employment. It was just a crazy thing her parents kind of expected. It was like, well, if you're going to marry her, I'd really like you to be able to take care of her. So I had to get a real job. And I mean, right after high school, we were high school sweethearts, okay? Oh, I mean, come on, guys. It's too late now. If I have to ask you to do it, it's too late. Okay, so we'll just move on. So we were high school sweethearts, and we were ready to get married right away. We prayed about it. We had gone out forever, felt like forever. And I had to get a real job. And let me tell you, in high school, I wasn't afraid to work, but the jobs I had were not that challenging. The prices you pay for failure were not really that extensive. I had a job working at do you guys remember Blockbuster? It was amazing. That was the best job ever. I had a great time doing that. You know, I worked multiple jobs many times, but whenever it was real, I had a wife on the line here. I had a future. I went to the Postal Service to get a job, and to me, that was terrifying. It was so terrifying because it was so real and the stakes were so high, and I had to take a risk. And I would remember I would go in early. I'd go in as early as they'd let me go in, and I would work as late as they would let me work because I had no choice. I just worked. It just took me forever. I remember I'd come home and I'd be discouraged. I'd be afraid. I was like, I'm not going to make it. They're going to fire me. I have like a probationary period, and I am doing so terrible at this job. I cannot believe they're keeping me. And there would be times where I would go early, I mean way earlier than my job, and I would go to her, and I would just lay down with her, and I'd talk to her, and I'd say, I'm going into that place again. And it's terrible, and it's frightening, and it's hard, and I just need to be reminded of what I was doing it for. Why was I taking the risk? Why was I stepping out in fear? Because I wanted to marry that woman. And so it gave me courage. It gave me strength to continue. I'll tell you, guys, it is a miracle from God. He wanted me to be with her because there was one time when I'm driving this postal Jeep, okay? These have the doors that slide open, and I would go to this one complex, okay? And we would deliver mail, and it was a medical complex, and what you do is you'd pull up, you'd open your door, and they had individual slots, three or four different suites where they'd put their mail, and we just opened the whole thing up, and we'd take the mail out, and there's this lady. She would collect all the mail she'd wait for a week. She'd bring a backpack. She had a routine, and one day our routines crossed. She had two giant big gulps, you know what I'm saying? She just had those polar pops or whatever, and she came out, hey, Kevin, how are you doing? I'm here, you know, I'm flushed, I'm doing the best I can. And I opened those things up, and she put her polar pops up there, and she's got her backpack that she put all the mail in. She sat down, we're talking, and I get all of her mail to her, and I just hand it to her, you know, don't make her open all those doors and unlock every one of those doors. I'm like, here you go, and we're chit-chatting or whatever. So I slam those doors shut, and it shakes the thing, and like 2 liters worth of Coca-Cola or whatever falls directly into her backpack that's open and receives into all the mail that she had just placed in there. And I remember at that moment saying, okay, I'm fired. So I just shut the door and I said, you have a good day. And I drove off as fast as I could because I didn't know what to do at that point. What do you do? What do you say? I'm sorry. I don't know. I mean, it's your fault. You shouldn't have put those up there. I don't know. I mean, I didn't want to take credit. But no, I didn't get in trouble. I didn't get fired. But it was a miracle. God has us. He knows what he's doing with us. And I just want to encourage you guys. There's so many things. I remember when we heard about we knew we were going to have a child. Tell you what, there's so many things that if it's worth having, then we're going to have to do something radical sometimes. We're going to have to put ourselves out there. So I want to encourage you, anything worth having, I'm just telling you, don't be afraid to chance, to put a risk out there. See, he's calling us to be courage because he's calling us to be strong and courageous because there's something to be strong and courageous for. That means there's going to be an absence of comfort or peace. And we're going to need to remember that his words are the only thing that we need to get us through these situations and these times in our life. And it's so important that we do those things. So here's the example that we have in Joshua's life, okay? So Joshua was commissioned to carry on for a dead man, okay? So this is why we need to hear these words. This is why these words were spoken to him, okay? He was commissioned to carry on after a dead man, okay? Because he disobeyed God, because he was following his duty to get a people to a place, but they caused him to get his eyes off of God and onto them, and he failed. And so Joshua now gets this wonderful job where he's like, hey, you know, the last guy that had your job, he didn't make it. He literally died. And he failed. And to get him to the destination, and the very people that you're in charge of caused him to lose his mind. And the place you're taking them has potential to kill you. So be strong and courageous. You know, it's like, man, this is tough. I feel for Joshua. You know, I'm like, man, I'm trying to think emotionally and being in his situation. I'm just really proud of this guy. I'm really hoping I can emulate what he has had to go through and how successful he is in his campaign. So we understand where he's coming from, but these words are not just for him, they're for us today. Anytime we look at the scripture, it's important to understand that these words are for our instruction. See, we get to see the examples set before us in these men of old and how they did well or did not do well, and we are instructed by how well or how bad they did something. I think we can learn from how not to do things as well as how to do things. How many of you know that? You've worked with some bosses before, and you're like, well, I've learned not to do this by the way they do this. I'm just saying, it's all for us to grow. Amen? So he's encouraging Joshua, be strong and courageous, and there's three things I want to touch on that is in the scriptures, just so that we can cling to these things, and that we can remember these things as we're moving on, wherever it is in our life, spiritually, into the different destinations that God has planned for us, the callings that he's placed on your life. I want you to remember these three things. Courage and a clear calling. Okay, in verses 1 through 4, it says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I've promised Moses. So the first thing I want you to understand is that God has laid out a very clear instruction. Here's what I've called you to do. Okay, this is important because when we have a clear understanding of what God wants us to do, then we can move boldly. Okay? When we clearly and just when we boldly believe in God's word, we can move boldly. Okay? We have to know what he's saying. I mean, I understand this because whenever we go on a long road trip anywhere, my wife uses her phone with the GPS. So it's on her phone because she had like unlimited data. And so she's the one that is in charge of the GPS. The problem with that is I need to see clearly where I'm going, or else I start doing this thing. And see, I don't know if you guys ever use your GPS on the phone. It tells you your destination time, and it tells you what time you're supposed to arrive at the destination. Well, she'll periodically go, Kevin, you've lost 10 minutes. You've slowed down. What's going on? I'm like, well, I don't know where I'm going. If I knew exactly where I'm going, there's like four lanes of traffic. Do I need to take an exit here? No, I'll tell you. I'll tell you when you're going to get there. I'll tell you when you're going to just go. You're driving like an old lady. No offense to old ladies, okay? So I'm driving, and I just put the pedal down. I said, okay, what's the speed limit? We'll go legally 10 miles over, right? That's what in my mind, you can go that far over. So I'm going. I'm like, all right, I'm doing what she wants. I'm like, am I getting any time? Yeah, you're getting time. Kevin, you're supposed to take that exit. Brrr, you know, and you're just like cutting across traffic, three lanes. You got people screeching and their cars. I mean, it's just like, I need to see clearly where I'm going because I needed to know that 3 or 4 minutes before the exit passed us because I was in the wrong lane. Okay, so when you don't have a clear direction and you don't know for sure where you're going, you're slow. You're not moving. You know, you're not confident. We got to be confident in what God's called us to do. And I'm telling you, I think we're discouraged. Many of us are discouraged because we don't feel that we're moved into a place that God wants us to be in. But I think we haven't clearly prayed and asked him what it is that we're supposed to do. And I want to encourage you, we can have courage when we know exactly what it is God wants us to do. But until we know that, then we're gonna be discouraged. We're not going to feel like we're in the right place. You know, we're going to feel stuck. And let me tell you right now, spiritually speaking, whenever we're talking about, if you looked at your spiritual progress on a chart, it's not going to say, it's not going to start low, and then you're going to progressively go high. That's not how it works when you're moving spiritually with God. You're going to start low, then you're going to have a high moment. And then you're going to hit rock bottom. And then you're going to stay rock bottom. And then you're going to have a really good high moment. And then you're going to start all again over. It's going to come back. And then you're going to go, oh, really high, and then really low. It's just going to be a mess. It's going to be, what am I looking at? That's your spiritual progress chart, okay? That's just how it is with God, okay? We see before we get to the point with Joshua that these people that Moses had, they had to wander for 40 years. And you think, well, man, these people are stuck. They're not moving into what God has. But I say, I propose to you, God was just preparing them. He was getting a people ready to receive him. See, he brought a people from slavery, out of slavery, to worship him. But let me tell you, he can remove people from slavery, but it takes a while to get the slavery out of them. And there's a season in our lives where maybe we feel like we're stuck, but God's just working on you. I mean, he's getting you wholly dissatisfied. I don't know if you've ever heard that or if you've ever felt that. It's like, I know I ain't supposed to be here, and I don't know what to do, but I know I'm sick and tired of it. I'll tell you a good example. This is Dave Ramsey. He has the best little thing. He says, when you get sick and tired of being sick and tired, that's when you start moving. That's when there start to be momentum in your life. And that's how it is spiritually sometimes. So I want to encourage you, if you're here today and you're like, I don't even know. I know I'm not where I'm supposed to be. I don't know what's going on. Then I think God's got you right where he wants you, and he's dealing with you. He's putting a dissatisfaction in your heart where you're at so that you'll seek him and find out where you need to be. Some of us, maybe we need to go back a little bit and say, when's the last time God told me to do something? And I just left it there, kind of just let it stay where it was instead of going after God and just being obedient. Maybe it was a thing where you're like, well, God told me to do something, but it was taking a step of faith, and it was very scary. Well, I'm telling you what, you get so sick and tired of being where you're at, you'll go take the jump. It's like going to the dentist. I'm telling you right now, there ain't nothing worse. You can ask my wife. I mean, they were gentle when I had my root canal, but I told her when we were done, I was like, oh, thank you so much for taking good care of me. And I left and I said, I will never do that again. I will never go. I will brush my teeth. I will floss. I will do whatever it takes to never go back into that chair again. But I'll tell you what, when the pain got so bad, I couldn't bear it anymore. I chose him. You know, I chose the dentist. I'll have him work on me. Some of us, we need to realize, you know, God might have called you to do something painful you didn't want to do. I tell you what, it's far better than not doing what he's asked you to do. So I just want to encourage you, we need clear comprehension of what he's calling us to do so we can be bold. It's like, I boldly believe what you've told me, and I'm going to move boldly. Amen? Amen. I could quit right now then, right? All right, no? Okay. You had your chance. I think in the New Testament, see, this, it just mirrors that, just so you know, in the New Testament, we're also encouraged to move boldly. In Ephesians chapter 2:10, it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. See, this implies that we need to move in bold obedience to the good work that God has prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. And I like the language of walking, because we're moving. Okay, I like all this language that we see in the Old Testament and in the New Testament where God is having us move, okay? It's not just sitting still. And so it's important to understand that even in the New Testament, God is saying, look, we got to be active. We got to continuously move. We can't stay here, okay? Wherever that is in your life spiritually, God's always taking you from here to there. And then you get there, and God says, okay, now you can't stay there. And now we're going to go further. We're going to go further because he has a plan for you. He has prepared something for you, that you've been created for a specific thing. And it's so important that we hear clearly what it is that God has called us to do, because let me tell you right now that people are waiting for you to understand the calling that God has and to operate in that calling with boldness. People are waiting for you because God's called us to a purpose, and our purpose is people. Even Joshua, he wasn't just to get to a destination. What was he to do? He was to bring a people to a destination. So this is not just about us and our fears. This is about what other people, what God is wanting us to do for someone else. And I'm telling you what, we have to get a hold of this. And we will rejoice in it, guys, when we go boldly and we begin to see how God uses us it will quicken faith in us. I'm telling you, it's an exciting thing. Exciting. Moving is exciting, but I was talking earlier before we came into, before I preached, and exciting is a word that you can use for a lot of things, like being afraid, or exciting could be challenging, or, you know, I'm excited can be enthusiastic. You know, it's like when the doctor, when the doctor's telling you something, they don't say this is going to hurt. They say you're going to feel pressure. They trick you. You ever catch that? It's like, no, I know what you're saying. This is going to hurt. This is going to hurt. Just tell me it's going to hurt, you know, because I don't like that. But they're trying to prepare you. You know, so we're having an exciting time. For some of you, maybe a little anxious. Some of you may be really pumped and excited. Can't wait to move or just change. I'm ready for change. And, you know, the rest of you, this could be a challenging season. Don't worry about it. God is going to be with us. We have his promises. So the second one is courage in his presence. He is going to be with us. Even when Jesus commissions us to go out and to make disciples of all nations, he doesn't just say, go, have a good time. I'm going to be monitoring your progress from here, from heaven, in a safe location. He says, no, I'm going to be with you until the end of the age. He is with us. That we don't just go into a place that's dangerous, defenseless, because the great shepherd comes with us. And he has a big stick, so I don't have to be afraid. And I just want to encourage you, this is so important. Moses, here's one of the areas Moses nailed this. In Exodus chapter 33, 15, if you want to look it up, you can. There's this point where God gets so mad and angry at these people because he uses this language again of stiff neck, people that aren't able to be led. And then he says, look, I'm just going to go ahead and send you on without me to the promised land. Like, I'm going to give you and the people what I promised. You can have the land, but I'm not going with you. And this is where Moses really shows us how important God's presence is in this whole situation. He says this to God. He says, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. Guys, let me just tell you, he says this. If we get the thing that you've promised us, but we do not have you, then what is it? What difference does it make? What does it do? It doesn't distinguish us from anything or anybody else. God ultimately is our destination, guys. He's the one that we're following. That's why we're called Christ followers. Earlier in Exodus, Caleb, he's not afraid. He believes in God. He believes Moses is in charge. And he's just always encouraging. You know, he's always like, let's go take the land. You know, he's one of those guys. He's one of those people. I don't know what that's like. But he's one of those people that are always excited and encouraged. And then it speaks of Caleb. It says he never shrunk back. He never went backwards. He was always moving forwards. It's that language again, moving forward, not being afraid. He wasn't stiff-necked like the people. That means he could be led around. He didn't just be stubborn. God wants to lead us to something, but we have to be willing to follow. And we have to trust that his presence is the most important thing that we need. Guys, I don't know about you, but I need his presence every day. I've tried to operate in my abilities, and it just falls flat. It just falls flat. I've tried to do things in my own strength. And I think it's funny. God always puts us in situations where it's just we're totally out of our depth. I think he delights in just, here, I'm going to give you this impossible task. But it's okay because I'm going to help you complete it. Because without me, you won't be able to complete it. And I think it's important that we understand that if you're operating in something right now that doesn't take God to do it, you're probably not where God wants you to be. And I would be very careful about that. I'd be like, look, if you don't need God to just conquer this, take this possession, lead these people, whatever it may be, then maybe you're not where God wants you to be. Maybe you've taken an easier path. And guys, I've been there. I've done that. I've chosen an easy path, but guess what? Was not satisfied. I needed his presence. I've said in my own heart, I have this, but Lord, without you, it doesn't matter. It's not worth having. Those are hard moments, you know, but I'm telling you what, God is close to the brokenhearted. Guess what? His presence is drawn to those people who are broken and humbled. So he'll put you in a situation where it may be rough and tumble, but he promises he'll be close to us. I think that's worth having. Guys, we need to know that too as a congregation in our move, that we want his presence more than we want this building, more than we want the stage design, you know, just whatever. And I love those things. And I'm really excited about those things. I'll just tell you right now, I get excited when I see all the possibilities of what we're going to have. And how we're not going to have to set up every morning. Praise you, Lord. God is good all the time. But I don't want to lose him in the process. And I thank God for leadership that constantly is saying we need to pray. We need to seek God's face. We want this area. We want to take possession of a people. You know, we take possession of a land. We want God's promises because we believe it's what he's called us to do. But we can't do it without him. And so I'm excited that we seek his face, that we pray, that we cover everything we do in prayer, and that we ask for his presence to be all about it. And last but not least, guys, you're welcome. Courage in God's word. And he says this, if you read the scriptures from above, and this is in verses 7 and 8. This is the very first scripture I started with in Joshua 1. It says, proclaim the word. He's telling Joshua, these are the things you must do. You must proclaim the word. You must meditate upon the word and do all that is written in the word. See, we have to have the word in our heart. We have to have the word constantly before us, constantly reading. Just have it inside of us. Say, well, I don't like reading. Well, then listen to it. You know, whatever it takes, get it inside of you. You will be amazed. And when you come into a situation that you need that word, how fast it'll quicken inside of you and you'll have it. But you got to put it in there. I tell you what, it's a supernatural thing. Meditate on it. Always be thinking about it. They used to write it on them. You know, used to have it all the time. But let me just tell you, when you're in a situation where you're being obedient to God, that word becomes so real, and you're thinking about it. You're thinking, man, this situation that I'm in at work right now, the word speaks to that. You know, it's just amazing whenever we're active in what God calls us to do, how that word just becomes so pivotal to our everyday. And so I just encourage you, have a good relationship with this word. And then lastly, do all that is written. If God has a word prepared, then we must be obedient to that word. And I've said this, I think we need to understand this, that our relationship to God's word mirrors our relationship to God. Because see, if you think about what he has just told us to do with the word that he has given us, he is saying, hey, think about it, store it in your heart, and be obedient. Jesus was the word made flesh. He came as the word. And so we have to be obedient to this word if we truly believe that God is who he is. And I want to encourage you, even for Joshua, back in Exodus, when Moses was in charge, it says this in Exodus chapter 17, verse 14. It says, after the victory, they had this great victory, and everyone's excited, okay? Moses has led them to a great victory. And it says this, the Lord instructs Moses, write this down on a scroll as a permanent reminder and read it aloud to Joshua. This is how important, even back then, God already had a plan. He already knew what was going to happen. He already knew who he was going to bring into this situation. And even back then, he says, look, we did a great and mighty thing. Write it down and read it to him. I want it in him. I want this word to fortify his insides. Okay? Even then, God was preparing someone. Listen, I want to encourage you this morning. God didn't have a worthy man that he brought to the forefront. God had a man that was willing, and he made him worthy. That's all it is. Just be willing to take those courageous steps. Now, as a church, as we move on, as we move forward, as we go into the things that God has for us physically in a location, I want to encourage you, there's going to be opportunity after opportunity for you guys to step up in boldness in many ways. And so many of you are already doing that. I have been blessed so much in the last 3 or 4 weeks with the amount of people who have come to me and have offered to take things off of me. And that's just one little segment of what we do every day. And I just look at God and I'm like, God, this is amazing. Like, people are excited. People are stepping out. People are being bold. And they're doing things. And these are just small things, but guys, they mean the world to all of us. They're encouraging. When you walk out in faith, when you step out in faith in these small things, I'm telling you, it goes straight up to the leadership. I know Paul is encouraged. Because faith encourages other faith. It builds faith in other people. And so I just want to encourage you, whatever is getting ready to happen, please be praying about what God is wanting you to do. How can you serve? How can you step out in boldness? Who can you reach out to in this exciting time? Guys, God's going to do amazing things. And I'm just telling you right now, he wants us to be strong and courageous. Move boldly. And I'm going to pray, and we're going to close. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this opportunity. Lord, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you that you want to encourage us even today. And Lord, encourage us individually and corporately for what it is you've called us to do. And Lord, I pray right now that you would just speak to each and every one of these people, Lord God, what it is you've spoken to their hearts, what it is you've called them to do, what it is they are uniquely created by you, crafted by you to do. And Lord, I pray that you'd give them the boldness and courage to walk that out. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks, Kevin.